It's the Second Cup of Joe and John with Joe Elvis and John Dwyer.
Joe!
Hello, Jonathan. Greetings.
Question for you. We keep this Nashville-centric. If I say this name to you, and you're heavy into rock and roll, and you know so much about this area. I know a little bit about sports. If I said the name Trish Head to you, does that mean anything to you?
No.
And don't, no, you know, no fifth grade humor.
I thought that's where you were going.
No. Trish Head, and I know our guest knows exactly who I'm talking about. I'm watching ESPN. I'm going through some documentaries. There's some Southern basketball hoop stuff I haven't seen. And it featured Pat Head Summitt, who grew up in Cheatham County. Henrietta, star there. By the way, JAG Tennessee has a fantastic program at her high school now. She could have used JAG back then. No, actually, she turned out very well. Very stern father. They had a great, but they forgot one of the best stories about Pat Summitt, the legendary Lady Vols basketball coach, 8 national championships. Very quick story. She has one child, Tyler, born when she was 38. Do you know the story? I'm just, yes or no? Okay, about the story of her, of the birth of the kid. They forgot the best story. She's on a recruiting trip in a little puddle jumper in Pennsylvania, and her water breaks. And Coach Summer, you got to have your kid here. And she's like, basically, get me a shot, you know, Jack Daniels. We're going to get on the freaking plane. My kid is not going to be born anywhere but Knoxville, Tennessee. Pennsylvania will not be on his birth certificate. Yeah. And she gutted it out, and Tyler was born in Knoxville. I think that's a great story.
That is a great story. Is Trish had her real name, Trish?
Patricia. But she went by Trish.
I thought it was a rock and roll question, and it went basketball.
It went on that. Do you have a good? I know your oldest was born during the Super Bowl week
Super
of the
Bowl
Titans.
Sunday.
But did Kimmy do well with both? Was there any other stories?
Joey was a 10-pound kid, and she pushed it out because she's
no evil, pain involved there.
But that took a long time. And Justin, the second one was, we probably planned better, and she was in there, you know, reading the paper, drinking a beer. And there goes the child, and it was over. Let's go. It's
very
dinner.
Touching.
That's it. Isn't that romantic?
Were you there for either? Were you
I
like
was there
in,
for both?
You're
and,
in the room,
and
you're such like a millennial father.
For parents out there, we didn't find out. So many people go, we've already found out, and we've painted the room. We've bought all the first 3 years of things. We never found out, and there's no better surprise in life than you're like, what?
My dad
is it a boy? Is it a girl?
My dad had was in the waiting room and thought that it was false labor and came out and said you had a son. Didn't know he was going to have a son, and put the marquee on the Ford dealership that he ran. It's a boy. And I still have a picture of that.
That's nice. Yeah, in those days, the dads didn't get to go in.
No, he was out there smoking.
They usually
went
to the bar and smoked, and then they got a call.
Yeah, no, he went through a half a pack. And then and it's like, hey, you got a boy. So anyway. All right, let's get to our guest.
Here we go, Greg.
Hey, we know people.
Let's take a spin through Joe and John's Rolodex.
You ever seen someone push a button like that?
Running a board of
smooth,
a radio.
Man, smooth,
Dr.
So
smooth.
I worked in radio for 24 years, and he worked in TV, and look who's pressing the buttons over there.
We have not figured this out yet. It stops on P for Greg Pogue. Yeah. Legendary sports talk radio renaissance man in Middle Tennessee. Welcome to the Second Cup of Joe and John.
Wow, that
there
was in harmony
a
too.
Little bit.
Wow, hey guys, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's good. It's good to have you. Thank you. You've got so much going on. We will talk Nashville Cats, but we do keep this evergreen. We like people to walk down memory lane, and they would remember you nearly a quarter century on the airwaves. You and I cross paths. You are always very kind to me. You always had something going on. You were always somewhere. But you just recently, have you adjusted to not doing sports talk radio? You just get up and you wear your wife out, or I don't know.
No. She wears me out and then I leave. But yeah, I've always wondered, you know, because obviously I was a newspaper base with the Nashville Banner, the long run there alongside, you know, Joe Biddle and all the good people that, you know, the Tennessean Banner, that, you know, thing. And radio was always a component with it. And then I always wondered, am I a radio guy? As a sports writer, am I a sports writer? And I was a sports writer on radio. That's what I feel. And that's what I did. And I got tired of writing and quit. I got tired of being on the radio every day and quit. Just, but it's time.
You were on the radio 20 plus years?
24 years on a daily presence.
Yeah.
At five, we were the first morning sports talk show in Nashville on WNSR in 2000. And then moved over to 102.5 for a while and then came back. And something about some guy in Baltimore telling me what to say about he couldn't point Gallatin out on a map. But anyway, that's, sure. You know, we won't go down that one. But, you know, I found a nice home.
This is going to be one. He's as bitter. If not bitter. More
no,
bitter.
I'm happy.
You
I'm
are
happy.
How are you?
Yeah, no, because it's, you know, how you how things go around. The Nashville Cats flagship station is 102.5.
Right. Yeah, so that's what goes around. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I went from employee to competitor to client.
Nice. We all learned not to burn bridges, right, Joe? I mean, you had to kind of dance up and down the dial. I stayed at one station, but you know, it's a delicate needle to thread, and you did it very, very well. Joe?
560 WNSR, Greg, you put them on the map for sports for doing it for so many
years.
Thank you
for saying that.
Sure, and that was on the AM side, and I think I crossed paths with you back when I think it was Bill King and Bob Bell did the AM show on 1510.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great era of sports. You guys had local coverage. The local people would be on with you. Local was everything on radio. And I think to your point there, it's kind of gotten away with that.
Yeah, and it's that time was pre-Predators, pre-Titans. High schools were huge. I'm still big. I'm still got a high school show I do every Saturday morning on WNSR 560 AM, 95.9 FM, 107.9 FM. Give, you know, those side, the FMers, some love there. But we weren't driven by the total narrative of Titans all the time, and now the Predators of sneaking into it. Vanderbilt's taking the back seat. I'll just tell it like it is. 104.5. They're Titans all the time, but they're Vols all the time. But they don't expand into any other areas. They're that's in my mind. That's top 40 sports talk radio. Sure. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to talk about whatever I felt like I wanted to talk about. You know.
Where, and that spun off from being in the Nashville Banner, and I think it's like TV guys, they want to write in the newspaper, and newspaper guys want to be on the TV and on the radio. You'll see the cross-pollination real strong.
I did that thing with Rick Renner. Remember him on WB every night? The guy with the big hair? He's still in Dallas, Fox? Or
Channel 58? The CW was every night here.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It is interesting. I think back where... in those days, and I'm proud of this because it's great that you brought up doing high school sports. When I came to Nashville and high school football was, you know, two games and four scores on a Friday night. And where I worked in the other markets, high school football was a revenue maker. So we started a half hour show at night. Well, everybody else does. We started the Sunday night sports show before the Titans and Predators. Our first Sunday night show was about the senior Bell South senior class. And they said, and I'm sure Hope and Rudy are going, why are you doing a half hour on senior? You know why? Because there's eyeballs and it's, you treat it like major sports. I thoroughly enjoyed, people would ask, would you like to cover high school football or get on the Titans plane and go to Baltimore and see a game? Don't ask me that question because I love the smell of Stick'em and the marching bands. I loved high school football, and I'm proud of what we did. That's years ago, and nobody remembers. But I just had to get that.
Remember.
I feel better.
I
now.
Remember.
No, you don't. No, you sure. don't.
We all remember. We have it on cassette where we recorded.
My 8-track.
Greg, you've been named a 3-time Sports Columnist of the Year by the Tennessee Sports Writers. You've been the studio anchor for the Preds and the Titans on the radio networks and a columnist for the Daily News Journal as well. You've done it all, and let's fast forward to where you sit now as the VP for Community Relations with the Nashville Cats coming back to town I think the info for Nashville folks is still spilling out. Tell us what the Cat's return is like here for our city.
Well, it started with the founding owners, Tamara Dad Allen and Nancy Eckert. They brought in Jeff Fisher. Of course, John, you and Jeff, all those years so close with the Channel 2 stuff. And Jeff brought me in, and I think just for me personally, what I think he saw and they saw is just sort of a confluence of my skill set, my experiences, my contacts. I know everybody. And if I don't know everybody, I know somebody who does. And so it just, we wanted to make sure that we have that. How many new businesses start with a foundation already in place? We're going to, how many new businesses start with a Hall of Fame? Right. And we're going to have that. Of course, the easy names are Andy Kelly and Corey Fleming and Daryl Hammond and on and on and on with that. So there was so many good memories. They averaged 11,900 per game. Now, this was at Bridgestone Arena. We're going to talk about Municipal Auditorium and just, in my mind, a retro feel to it. I was talking to Jeff Jarrett. He said, I love it. It's in the round. Nobody builds round arenas anymore.
It's an air filter.
Yeah. And our owner, our partner now, Chuck McDowell involved. You're not going to, we've gussied up the old lady. It's going to be really nice, but there's that foundation of an older crowd that had a great experiences. They grew up going to the games. Now they want to bring their, and then our new audience is the millennials, the 25 to 44s who are just invading our town and can't find enough ways to spend money. So we just think we're a part of the landscape again. We're going to have what it is in the Cats thing. And the number one question we got about the Cats as we're bringing it back, are you going to bring back the hot tub? That has been the number one, I'm not kidding you.
What happened?
Yeah.
Joe, that's on his list of show prep. That's number one. It just says tub?
Well, they used to have like three couples all hard bodies sitting there for 2 hours drinking beer the whole time and never get out. So that's sort of a concern. But no, okay. We're actually going to retire. We're working on, this is something we'll say this is coming out in a couple of weeks, right? We're going to retire the hot tub. Uh-huh. We're going to have an official hot tub retirement.
Okay.
And then at the end of the year, somebody will take that officially retired hot tub home with them. So just a promo, but it's, if you've been to Arena Football League, it's 50 yards of just war. You know, if the ball goes up in the stands, you get to keep it. We just ask that you throw the players back. You know, we need those. But and we're going to have the Municipal Auditorium, that plaza there in between the new bus station and the auditorium. We're going to have a block party, street festival with food trucks and live music and all that. And we're going to have a big party and hope a football game breaks out.
Excellent. Excellent.
Common sense would tell you not to look to Joe and John for this, but time for life lessons from Joe and John.
Great part of that great resume is your voice. You are the voice of the TSU Tigers. Are you going to continue to do that?
Yes, I hope so. Yeah, I've fell in love with the mission of the HBCU and Teresa Phillips, Teresa Phillips, the athletics director there, she brought me in, and they didn't have a coaches show. I started their coaches shows. They didn't have a network or a true thing, and I just sort of got that going, and I just fell in love with the mission. Howard Gentry and all the people over at TSU, and it's such a sleeping giant over there. Eddie George now, the football coach, Brandon Fisher, the defensive coordinator. Of course, we hadn't even mentioned Jeff Fisher yet, of course. Well, I did earlier, but that's an old moment. That's a senior moment right there. But what's your name?
I've been there.
Is this the cup of Jim? What are we doing here? Cup of Joe?
Thank Larry.
Yeah.
So your life lessons, though, what I like about your, I talk about the phrase I would use is you're kind of a chameleon walking past a stained glass window because you wrote for the Banner. That was pretty good, wasn't that, Joe?
I think I figured that one out.
Yeah, you had to work through diagram. Abacus and a slide rule and everything like that. That was what I just came up with that. But to work at the Banner to morph and to find relevance in sports talk radio, to find a place there, to stay in one town. You don't see that all the time. Your adaptability, your life lessons. You kind of roll with it. I don't ever see you. I've got an edge. I can be moody. Joe knows that.
I sure the hell can be moody.
Can you?
No, I'm not. You always just kind of figure it out, Pogi.
You're Pogi. You know what I'm saying?
Well, through that, I mean, for 10, also from 2000 after the banner, I bought Big Orange Illustrated, flipped it, and the 10 years of executive sports editor of the Daily News Journal. 9 years we were named the best in our division. Two times the best in the country. And I really took a lot of pride because after I saw where Gannett was going and with where they were going with it, and it just kept that local feel. Had great people. David Beauclair worked for, you know, just really good people there. And we actually competed against the Tennessean. You know, when the banner went away, we competed against the Tennessean.
Hyper-local, yeah. Joe. It's that's what it was about.
That's about all I am. Hyper-local.
I think it's great. And I hope it returns here one day where someone invests and lets us all get back on the airwaves 24 hours a day and wing at it. That would be wonderful.
Can you imagine?
That would be great. We'd all do it. Well, back to the TSU, Tennessee State University, why are they playing in the Titans Stadium? Their stadium is affectionately called The Hole. It's unique as can be. Why don't they sink some money in that, especially with Eddie George and Jeff Fisher's been around Eddie since he started there, of rebuilding that stadium into the hottest rockin' little tiny stadium where they can just raise hell with the TSU marching band and the great vibe that is the Tigers?
Well, the initial question is why it now at Nissan Stadium. Well, part of the leverage of the team being able to go in front of the state legislature and get the approval, Thelma Harper, state representative at that time, tagged TSU into it, that would be a home stadium for them there. They have their own locker room, TSU does, and everything, and that's where they would play the home games. Meanwhile, no attention since the late 90s has been given to Hale. The press box is condemned, and we don't do politics, I am apolitical because I think both sides are controlled against the fringes. That's my last political statement.
We'll edit that out. We're not going to allow that.
But you're right. In the meantime, you look at the other schools within the UT, you know, structure. There's UT Martin, new stadium. Chattanooga, new stadium. East Tennessee State University, new stadium. Tucker Stadium at Tennessee Tech, complete renovation. So you have all of these state schools, state universities, who are investing in their on-campus infrastructure and certainly their football stadiums, while Hale Stadium sits there rotting.
That's too bad.
And now they still practice on it and they still do that. Sure. You know, it would be a perfect year. Here's what you need to do. You need to have a high school opening weekend triple header of football. Saturday, noon, 3:30, and 7 o'clock, we're going to feature 6 metro schools, and we're going to bring them on campus. Now, we're poke a hole in that.
No, you are on message with that. That's a great idea.
I'm going to go down the other road on you were a Vanderbilt beat writer for the Nashville Banner for so many years, and Vanderbilt for Nashvillians, Vanderbilt, another tragic basketball season. They were last in the SEC, and not since James Franklin, at least they went to a bowl game. They've just hit an eternal slide. I mean, take baseball out of the picture, but what is going on over there? It's a great school with endless money and another crappy stadium that they're kind of rebuilding. Why can't they make that happen at Vanderbilt?
Why are we doing journalism on this show?
I need to be home by Saturday, okay? I just let you.
Okay. It is a good answer.
Well, I will say this. When I came here in 1996, one of my first days was to go to, and you talk about death warmed over, it was a Rod Dauhauer Monday news conference. And I never understood. John, you don't. I said, I don't understand why Vandy can't be good. I don't understand. John, you haven't been here. You don't know. You don't know how deep this runs, and the hell if I didn't find out. It's had moments, but I almost think it's just not fixable. I asked David Williams, RIP, one time at a news luncheon, and he didn't like it, but he was up there as a guest speaker. I said, why doesn't Vanderbilt leave the SEC? Because you take all the money, but you don't reinvest, and you're not a draw, and you go over well. because nobody wants to go see Mississippi State Vandy basketball. Nobody travels.
They used to now. They Memorial Gym was rocking. I mean,
yeah, that 70s, 80s.
Basketball was the bell cow. Even, you know, Kevin Stallings looks awful good right now after, you know, this Jerry Stackhouse mess. You know, and that was a David Williams hire, and it was not a good one. He had zero experience in the collegiate level, had no desire to ingratiate himself, immerse himself in the community. Mistake number one, hugest mistake, is that if you're not trying, you know, and you got to – winning is begets winning. Now, I will give you this. Chancellor Diermeier over there, I think there's a chance. Candace – Lee, the AD, I like her. I think she's a bit over her head at times, quite frankly, but I think she's good. But no one around her knows anything about Nashville. You know, you may have the best hire, but if he's doesn't or she doesn't know anything about Nashville, then you're in the communications business. You're in the PR business. You're more reactive than you are proactive. And I think hope this next coach, Byington, the guy from James Madison, looks like to be a good hire, but he has to be out in the community. I think that's what this community expects.
Yep, see, there he goes. Rapid,
you got to wear shades.
Rapid fire.
Joe's about to walk out on me and just say this.
You got to have a visual watching him try to push this button.
I didn't
press
do enough.
Press and hold curl. Is not the way to do it. Press and hold is not the way.
Melanie Balcom, when she was hired, said to me, I said, what are you going to do to sell tickets? And she said, it's not my job to sell tickets. And I went, you don't get it. That was a Vanderbilt women's hire that did okay, not great. Anyway, rapid fire questions, just off the cuff. And what do you got, Joe?
Greg, a visitor of many restaurants probably over the years being in radio, what's a hot spot for you in Nashville?
Well, I'm old school. Sperry's will always be there for me.
On
Harding, the original, and then the one out in Cool Springs, and it's got that feel to it. I guess I'm going to talk about all my friends' place first. The Southern Steak and Oyster, Tom Morales, and what him and now his daughters Lauren and Kendall are doing with that, and Acme Feed and Seed is about the only place I want. You know, I'll go down. I don't know if I want to go downtown much just to work and get out anymore, but. Okay, there's two.
Nobody does. No, that's plenty.
Yeah.
What music do you listen to? What's in your CD or on your Apple Pod
jazz,
thing?
I like Americana. I like, classic rock, Job.
Good answer.
Because I grew up on all of that. But I did a 4 years. I don't think it's even in there. 4 years down at Acme Radio. I did every Sunday night for four straight years, a two-hour jazz show. And the Nashville scene.
What?
The Nashville scene twice named it Nashville's best jazz radio show. And that was for 4 years every Sunday night.
Wow.
210 two-hour episodes.
Nice.
Yeah, I did that.
Nice.
I did not see that.
I'm an expert on Nashville jazz.
You
want me to name you the top five saxophonists in Nashville?
Jazz. Give me number three.
Well, number one has to be Jeff Coffin. He's now with the Dave Matthews.
Jeff can rock it.
Oh, he is.
He's now with the Dave Matthews band.
See, he's with Dave Matthews, John.
Okay.
You didn't know that?
I don't know.
Trombonist Roland Barber. They're the people who are here. They play for everyone else.
What was the jazz club over in Green Hills? Where is there a jazz club?
Rudy's Jazz Club in the Gulch.
The Gulch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's nice. Rudy's. Mm-hmm. We need to go to that.
Named after Rudy Wooten, one of the Wooten brothers.
See? That's good stuff. Now, I do know who the Wooten brothers are.
I did not. Did you ever go to the Boogie Street Blues Bar in Printer's Alley, or do you not consider that?
I rock your butt off. I mean, I love the blues. In my mind, there's two kinds of music, good or bad.
Greg, biggest sports story in the last 20 years?
Wow.
Last 10 years.
In Nashville? Oh, wow. That's, I would say the Predators making the Stanley Cup Finals.
It's a great one.
You know, because of the reaction to the city.
That
begat the
draft. It got us the draft.
It got us, you took the words right out of my mouth. If not for the way this city poured into the streets and showed everybody else how to do it, the NFL draft would have not been here.
And that was a huge. How many people for the NFL draft?
Well,
200,000
a day.
It was tremendous. tremendous. Mm-hmm. And for our Preds in the Stanley Cup, where the Bridgestone Arena is, if you're not from Nashville, Broadway is the main drag downtown, on the north side, on the south side, east and west side. Mm-hmm. Packed people outside with screens. One of the greatest feelings. They've got a good chance at a run this year. They're playing fantastic, the Nashville Predators.
They've hit a bit of a skid. I don't know when this comes out, but I know they had gone that 18 games in a row of a point streak, and Ned lost two and got the blues.
They need to lose.
I'm not sure if this is coming out. We don't know if he's passed the audition. We're gonna see if we're gonna actually put this out there.
You got one?
I'm just kidding, Pogi. Pogi, it's just he's Pogi. Some people go by Cher, Madonna, Britney, now it's Pogi. Besides the Wooten brothers, dead or alive, who would you want to have for dinner? What would be your all-time kind of, give me two or three guests that you'd like to pick their brains?
Well, I've had dinner with the first choice.
Go ahead.
Muhammad Ali. I've had dinner with him and his family. I had a one-on-one dinner with Jim Brown, just him and I at a table. If I could go back, Pete Maravich I grew up the son of a high school and college basketball coach, so I grew up on basketball.
Ohio State, right?
Yeah, no, LSU. There Pete Maravich, close.
Oh, Joe, you just...
I'm thinking Havlicek. Sometimes you need to...
Yeah. I'm thinking John Havlicek.
No, sometimes he just needs not to.
Yeah. My dad went to school with John Havlicek. That's the only reason I was like, Pete Maravich, is that Ohio State?
Well,
no, it was John Havlicek.
Well, okay, who was his teammate at Ohio State? Bobby Knight.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you.
And Jack Nicklaus was also there at the same time. See, you freaking
Jerry Lucas. I can go down any rabbit hole you want to go down. I can go.
We cannot compete with Pogi. No, so way to stretch your acronym in sports. That was good, Joe.
That's all. I guess another question is: Major League Baseball going to be in Nashville?
10 years ago, I'd have said no. 5 years ago, I'd have said no. Now, though, with everything that's coming in, with the new football stadium, we're going to have the Super Bowl one of these days.
Sure.
We're going to have Final Fours. We're going to have summer, whatever the big summer thing. Slam is for the wrestling. It will take... No one's going to move here, okay? Because no one has going to give up their franchise, okay? And there's no stadium to move to, right? There's no... So it's going to take the group there. They need a... They need a billionaire. They need somebody who's going to drive. They're raising their money. I think about it, a third of the way there. It would be through expansion only. Now you've got Vegas. Now they're off the hook since the A's are moving there. But you've got Portland, Charlotte. There's some cities that are in the mix. I think I'd say maybe. I would have never said maybe 10 years ago. I would have said no way.
Nice small stadium. If it was down at Steiner Lift, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, but Steiner Lift's not give that. You know, somebody else's, that place is ugly. It sure looks pretty to them.
Yeah. One more follow-up on the coming to town. It's in the Nashville Banner today that racing is reopening. The door is back open to getting it at the fairgrounds, built in some nice, respectable track, and we'll have an actual nice race here.
Well, and that's been a divide, too. Obviously, with John Ingram and what he did with the Nashville SC and that, that is a treasure. Politics in 1984 took the Winston Cup races away then.
Two races. Gone.
And so now they're back out at Nashville Super Speedway. Certainly Bruton Smith and his Speedway Corporation, they have the hammer to get it done. You know, there's been the pushback. You know, I don't know. If I, here in East Nashville, Roy's Beat Service, okay? If somebody moves next to him and complains about the smoke of a place that's been there, okay? So if you move next to a racetrack, don't bitch about the noise.
Yeah. Joe and John have come to the fork in the road.
I actually spoke in front of the fairgrounds folks to promote and said, and they... I get hissed and booed, and I'm like, well, this is a lot of my Channel 2 days. No, that's not true because nobody watched. But I said, look, I said, the racetrack has been there 100 years. Yeah. You knew what you were moving into. They've got a plan to do this. It is a treasure. And I, by the way, we were waiting for Pogi out in East Nashville where we record this at the JAG International Headquarters, World Headquarters. And I was wondering what kind of car Pogi, as I'm watching, I'm standing outside where I live, and it's probably the busy thoroughfare. And I see a lot of Teslas. I see a lot of electric cars. I see a lot of Subarus. I see, and then I go. Pogi was he was in his SUV, which I go.
Yeah, actually, it's a Nissan Rogue built 10 miles from my house.
Nice.
I buy local. It's built in Smyrna.
I was hoping it was going to be a Chevy Dually diesel spraying East Nashville with your love.
Anyway, so, forks in the forks in the road.
I got one.
Go, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I mentioned the Nashville Banner. Dimitri Kaladimos, who's been a guest on this show, probably the most visible and successful female anchor in this city's history. Out of TV, she got pushed out in a usual way that's ugly, like we've all kind of known in life. And she's back with another guy resurrecting the Nashville Banner.
Steve Cavendish.
That's it. Because I get those emails every day. And this morning I was reading the story on racing. The door is back open and the new mayor's open to it. He didn't seem like it when he was going through his election, but he is. Is that an interest for you? You know, Dimitri, we kind of got these folks that did it in the 80s and 90s. And they're coming back around because they're just damn good. And it's not hard to be good when you're competing with a 22-year-old right out of college. So is that something that would interest you, getting back in the mix, but you just kind of got out of it?
No. No. That's a hard no.
Let me think about it.
I wrote for 40 years.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it anymore.
Okay, good.
It became work. When it becomes work, I'm done.
I had to get it. Yeah. Sure.
All right. Wait, if you were not in sport, because you said you grew up around a court and coach and so forth, were you an athlete? You must have been.
Well,
you must have.
I know, you got
a scrapbook there, Pogi?
I know. When I graduated high school, I weighed 145 pounds. That's what my left leg weighs right now. So I've actually lost some weight, sort of like a deck chair off the Titanic. But I'm down a little bit. High school I was all district, all region. I averaged 18 points and 11 assists a game at Warren Central High School. I had a career high 32 points against Allen County Scottsville, and I had 10, 12 college offers out of high school. But no, I went for the big money of sports writing and radio.
And so the fork in the road for you, your career wise, was how, you know, did you have a decision to go to either, San Antonio or Nashville? Or, I mean, how did that happen? Because we all have that. Man, if I would have taken that road, I wouldn't be.
No,
here.
It was no. time. I knew that you know, it was time to get on. I mean, it was, you know, I knew I wasn't going to be able to go on and play, and I wouldn't, and the schools didn't interest me. So I was in Bowling Green, just went to Western Kentucky, which has one of the top journalism programs in the country. So
Did you know that?
Yeah. No, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I graduated in 85.
Yeah, I was already
out.
Yes. Okay.
Up on the
out. So hey,
hey, Greg, I have another question of part of your history too. Is a book I want to hear the story about. It came out a bit ago. You were editor on Out of the Darkness into Light, A Blind Fisherman's Story. A, how did you get connected with this, and what is that story like?
Mike Lawrence was the only, still is the only professional BASS Bass Tour fisherman. He fought the system and won. He would show up at these things with glasses on and use a different name and everything, and he finally sued and won. This is his amazing story. He became blind in his early 20s, taught himself while he was still how to cast and while he was still there, but he was blind, how to do it, feel, blah, blah, blah. And just he saved in his life six different people's lives, one a family four of drowning, another kid who had fallen in a water well, and another one. And it's just his story. That was a story he told to a lady who had never written anything in her life. So I was the editor, parentheses writer, okay?
Sure.
But that one is in, I am in the Library of Congress. That book is enshrined in the Smithsonian. Yeah,
so folks, that's you can find that on the web on the
online,
Google
online. Yep. Yep.
Out of the darkness into light, a blind fisherman's story. Lawrence, is that like the Lawrence little radar that's on boats? No, that's separate.
Well, the story is I was executive sports editor of the Daily News Journal, and he was the outdoors columnist there, and he would walk downtown with his dog, his dog, and bring drop off his cassette tape. And I would record it, type it in off of his little cassette tape and everything. And one time I just gave it over to, that's a little story, gave it over to someone else to type. And then I would go back and read it. And he goes, it was something, he said something like, he is a fine fish manure. And I go, what? I went back and listened to it, and it was said he's a fine fisherman, but the guy had typed it in said he's a fine fish manure. So, but that's, I became friends and just would spend time with him, and it just, it was inspirational, really.
Terrific.
Have you ever, because when I think of writing, you say writing, you get kind of tired of writing, and then sports talk radio for 24 years, Pogi, you're a storyteller. You love to tell stories. And I often people would say, what were the most satisfying things or stories? And people would assume it's this World Series or the Super Bowl, the Olympics. And it might have been, that, like you said, you find these treasures of stories that it's so therapeutic and rewarding to tell those stories. I got to believe that's part of why you've done it for so long. And longevity does not mean greatness, and you've been able to do it and make a living doing it. And it's such a credit to you of you being kind of this Charles Corralt, for lack of a better.
I'm on the road.
I mean, you're kind of that guy. You've got stories. Well, you get things. You can pull anything out of your pocket, talk about anything. Not for 3 hours, maybe 3 minutes, but I mean, you've got a wide bandwidth of knowledge of this area. You're a treasure.
Well, and there's three, obviously, and I'll pat myself, being inducted in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame last year, you're voted by your peers. That was, and then, but my very first of three halls of fame, he mentions, is that was the Nashville Black Coaches Association. Doc Shelton, who was the coach at MLK, who the court's named after him there, and he's now one of our team chaplains for the Nashville Cats, along with Chris Sanders. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know really what I do. I just do.
He does.
Yeah.
Should I hit this button to see if it works now? We'll try this.
10 seconds.
I know. We'll see.
There it goes.
You got to wear shades.
Greg. Nashville Cats season starting, a municipal auditorium where I saw Bad Company, my first concert in 1978.
Bad Company.
Oh, man, what an arena. And so if you're not from Nashville, Bad Municipal Auditorium there since probably the 60s. Downtown, it's a dome. It's awesome. There's concert tickets on the wall where you could see Kiss for $5.
Oh, Aretha.
Ted Nugent for
Rolling Stones.
It's the best. Yep. What great
Red
history.
Zeppelin.
Musicians Hall of Fame and Museum is in the bottom part from the late, great Joe Chambers, who started that. It's just still a terrific treasure for Nashville. Now it's going to house the Nashville Cats. What is a cat season? When will it run?
April 27th, five home games, one quote neutral up at the new F&M Bank in Clarksville, up there on Saturday, May 18th, Armed Forces Day. We're doing that on Armed Forces Day in conjunction with the Fort Campbell Army Base. We've got some activations that we're doing with the U.S. Army with that. We have four road games, at least six. We know six for sure, probably a seventh will be live on NFL Network.
Great.
Which is the exposure you just can't buy, right?
Sure.
I mean, and that's turnkey. We just open the door and they bring everything in. We don't have to worry about any of that. So six of the games are at...
Hey, Nashville!
Hey.
Tell me you've never done that in your broadcasting career. He literally did a mic drop.
Oh, I did.
Small earthquake. Yeah, in 3 seconds. Yeah.
Rookie mistake. Nice. Rookie mistake.
No, oh my God, that's beautiful.
Yeah, you'll be hearing from my attorney.
That was good. Oh, he's injured now. He's injured.
There's a promotion. That was beautiful. You can't make that shit up. tell me about, and you did a great hook recently on Facebook about Trevecca and bringing football back, undefeated since
1901.
Well, Greg Ruff, my buddy over there, assistant AD for communications. Tribeca, when it moved from NAI to Division II, well, there was the thought, football. And so 4 or 5 years into it, they put out a Tribeca football shirt, hoodie, and it just sold all over because it doesn't exist, right? Sure. And so we're thinking about doing it. Greg Ruff approached me and Mark Kelly at the AD there, you know Mark, and with Jeff, and we went over there and they put these Tribeca things and we put it out on April Fool's. This is a sad thing, really. I mean this. So we have Jeff wearing a Tribeca football shirt. And then, of course, the thinking, oh, he's going to be involved in the thing is the Cats. And we had Mark Elliott wearing a Cats shirt and everything.
Beautiful helmet design, by the way. That was legit.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
I felt bad last night. Greg Ruff said, I mean this. I'm going to reach out to this young man. There's a young 30-year-old coach at a NAIA school in Kentucky who – sent in an application to the athletic director to be an offensive coordinator. Yeah. Wrote a really well-crafted, and I've talked to Mark and Jeff, say we've got to reach out to this young man and not let him down easy that he's just applied for a job that doesn't exist.
Well,
it worked.
That's a life lesson for him, but good for him. Squeaky wheel finds the grease. In 10 years, you're going to hear about him working somewhere, right?
Well, I mean, that's going to be. I tell you what, we're going to make him our pet project, or we, Jeff, right? Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah.
Good. Excellent. Well, Greg, I think this is a new era for you. You've put in your time when you work in broadcasting. You have put in your time here in Nashville, and I hope this is just a great kind of relaxing era for you to enjoy moving forward and still promoting what you love, which is Nashville and sports. And with some great pros wrapped around you with the Nashville Cats, tickets are very reasonable to buy.
Yeah, starting at 20.
And the city should come out and just pack municipal because it will just be a good time.
It's nothing relaxing about it, though. I'll just tell you that.
It is sensory overload. There's no question.
Yeah, and it's right now just putting we're drinking water out of a fire hose right now, just everything that's going on.
Well, continued success for you, and also just the fact that I think Nashville and Middle Tennessee is better and more educated and has been entertained by you and your presence, both by the written word and through broadcasting. You don't let a lot of grass grow underneath your feet, partner, and you keep going. The thing I treasure perhaps the most about coming to Nashville, and it is different. I know the city's changed, and we, Joe and I both got, kicked to the curb in so many ways. But, well, I did. I don't know, Joe. But I think that the friendships, and while there were rivalries, and I'm sure you thought you kicked my ass and I kicked your ass, and all those things, at the end of the day, when I asked if you would be on, you did not flinch. And so thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. This is great. Your setup's great. You got a thing here.
Well, except for sponsors. But it's a little thing. It's labor of love.
Go get a trade. Just go do trade for tires or something. Seriously,
John. Mm-hmm. I like it. All right. Greg, thanks for being on the Second Cup of Joe.
Thank you.
And John.
It's the Second Cup of Joe and John as their guests expound on any and all topics within the realm of decency. Want to be a sponsor? Let a TV and radio guy help build your business. Email the show, secondcupofjoeandjohn@gmail.com. Now, hold on tight and grab another Second Cup of Joe. And John.